Welcome to Project I Am with Dr. David Schloss. Grab your coffee, green tea, or smoothie. Find your favorite listening spot or put on your walking shoes. Ready? Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Project I Am. I'm your host, Dr. David Schloss. Thank you for joining me today. In this episode, we're going to explore a really powerful idea, one rooted in an ancient insight, but that is deeply relevant today. I don't know if all of you guys know this, but I was a pastor in a church for just over a decade, two different churches. And there was this scripture, this ancient sacred text is how I refer to it, that would get used on occasion to encourage people to keep coming to church. And I want to share about that today because I think this particular text is full of wisdom, but I want to remove it from its cultural context with regards to how it gets used today. Basically, the scripture is this. It says, "Forsake not the gathering together of the brethren, lest you be deceived." Okay, so in biblical times, when people would gather together, they would gather in homes with each other and they would have dinner together. So in the context of the day, what the author of this text is saying, he's saying, hey guys, don't stop hanging out together just in case you get deceived, right? So while this phrase comes from a religious text, our focus today is entirely secular. We're going to talk about how gathering together, building real community, helps protect us from the lies that we may tell ourselves, the distortions we pick up about who we are, and the isolation that can warp our view of reality. Well, why is this relevant? This is super relevant because in our modern world, many of us are living increasingly isolated lives, even when we're so connected online. You know, we may physically attend our work, our tasks, and our screens, but meaningful gathering together in community is slipping. And ironically, the more disconnected we become, the more vulnerable we are to believing unhelpful or false narratives about ourselves. I'm thinking about a few weeks ago when I was pretty isolated and it was my own fault. I was isolated because I was busy and I was full of self-pity and I was choosing isolation. And it was amazing how I started to think thoughts like, I'm not good enough. I'm really lonely. I nobody cares. I have to do this all by myself. And all this crazy stuff, which I know isn't true. So when we're isolated, it's easy to go a little bit crazy, right? Crazy, not a good word, I know. When we're isolated, it's easy to believe lies. It's easy to believe things that aren't true. So today we're going to look at three major segments. We're going to look at the evidence, why isolation is dangerous and why community matters. We're going to look at the lies we believe when we're disconnected and how gathering helps counter them. And then we're also going to look at some practical ways to experience and build community in this modern life that we live, even when we're busy, dispersed, or remote. I'll share some research from studies. I'll weave in some real-world stories and invite you to reflect and invite you to especially take action. So my aim is to partner with you in discovering how community can be one of our most powerful buffers and one of the most powerful protectors we have, how it helps us stay mentally healthy and on track. But before we dive in to today's episode, I have something really exciting to share with you. Project I Am Academy is coming soon, and this will be a brand new online space dedicated to deepening connection, learning, and growth. As a free member, you'll have access to our book clubs, guided meditations, community chats, and special discussion pages designed to help you reflect and connect with others on the same path. And for those of you who want to dig deeper, a paid membership will unlock access to our full library of in-depth wellness courses. And then there's another level where you get access to everything that I've already mentioned, the courses, the community chats, but also to one-on-one mentoring every month. So whether you're looking for insight, support, or a place to truly belong, Project I Am Academy is designed to walk alongside you. So stay tuned. It's not ready yet. It's launching soon. I'm busy working on it. So I'm just trying to tell you guys ahead of time. I can't wait for you all to see it and become part of it. I think it's really going to help a bunch of us stay connected. But before we get into today's episode, here's the disclaimer.
This podcast is created for educational and inspirational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional mental health services, diagnosis, or treatment. Although Dr. Schloss is a licensed mental health professional, listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship. The content shared here is intended to support your personal development and mental wellness journey, but it should not be considered medical or psychological advice tailored to your individual situation. If you are in need of therapeutic support, please seek help from a qualified mental health provider in your area. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact a local crisis line or emergency services immediately. Views expressed by any guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect views of Dr. Schloss or the views of Project I Am.
Okay, welcome back. So let's begin by looking at the research behind why gathering together really matters. The truth is, isolation and disconnection is really dangerous for us. Research over the past decade has shown beyond any shadow of a doubt that social isolation and a lack of meaningful connection, well, these things are serious risks to our well-being. They don't just make us feel bad, but they actually impact our mental and our physical health. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the good old CDC, they define social isolation as a lack of relationships or contact with others, or little or no social support. And they define loneliness as the subjective feeling of being alone or disconnected. Now, these two things, social isolation and loneliness, are separate but related issues, and they both carry real risks. In one meta-analysis, researchers found that rates of loneliness and isolation are independently associated with poorer health. The absence of positive social relationships is a risk factor for morbidity and mortality. These are some of the key findings in those articles. 1. People with stronger social connections tend to live longer, have better cardiovascular and cognitive health, and better mental health. 2. Loneliness and isolation increases risks of stroke, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, dementia, cognitive decline, depression, and anxiety. And also, chronic loneliness in older adults was linked with a 56% higher risk of stroke compared with those who are not lonely. That's craziness. So what does this basically tell us? It tells us that human beings, our social nature, well, it's not a luxury add-on to be social. We are wired for connection. And when that dimension is weak or absent, we're exposed not only to feeling less well, but to real health vulnerabilities. But the story today isn't only about risk. It's also about potential, about how gathering and connection can act as a buffer, as a guardrail, as a preventative thing that's going to help you stay healthy. In 2024, there's a review by Holt Lundstad and colleagues, and they affirmed that social connection plays a vital role in preventing mental health problems, in maintaining good mental health, and aiding in the recovery from illness. The World Health Organization also states that social connection can reduce inflammation, lower risk of serious health problems, foster mental health, and even prevent early death. That's incredible. And one of the most striking summary findings says the following: people who are strongly socially connected have a survival advantage. In one of the reviews, the effect size of social connection on survival was similar to quitting smoking or any other major lifestyle change. What I want you to hear is this: gathering together, experiencing real community, does more than just make you feel nice. It is a form of resilience. It is a protective factor. It helps us stay grounded in truth, anchored in reality, and supported in our journey. So here's what happens when that connection wanes. When we stop joining, gathering with each other, when we don't have the presence of others in our lives in the form of meaningful relationships, friendships, well, lies begin to fill that vacuum. We begin to live in an echo chamber of one. When we lack community, when we don't regularly gather with others in meaningful ways, the mind and the heart become vulnerable. When this happens, we're more likely to drift into distorted internal narratives. I'm isolated, so maybe I don't matter. Nobody cares about me. If people cared, they'd reach out. So nobody must care. If I'm on my own, it's because I deserve it. I don't have help. It is just me. Nobody cares, and I don't matter, right? All that crazy thinking. One study found that loneliness is highly correlated with anxiety and depression. In the United States, 81% of adults experiencing loneliness also reported anxiety or depression. And isolation changes how we process experiences. You see, research shows that lonely individuals may process the world in more idiosyncratic ways, ways that are less aligned with shared perspectives and less able to bounce ideas off others. In short, what I'm saying is this: when community weakens, the stories we tell ourselves can become more and more skewed, and the absence of other voices means fewer opportunities to test, to challenge, to recalibrate our internal narratives. That's one major reason why gathering together is so important. Because without others' perspective, you can begin to believe lies about yourself. You can begin to be deceived. Okay, I think I'm making the point. I really feel strongly about this. I want to move on to these lies that we believe and how community counters them. Okay, lie number one that comes up for so many people is this: I am alone, therefore I am unimportant. When you don't regularly experience being seen, heard, supported, you may internalize this lie. Well, if I really mattered, people would show up. But gathering in community reminds you are visible, you are valued, you are part of something bigger. So I found this thing in New York City. It's a nonprofit called the Life Story Club, and it offers in-person and virtual gatherings where older adults share their life stories, connect with others, and counter isolation. One member said the group became, quote-unquote, their friends, their family, and their lifeline. You see, that kind of gathering helps flip the internal narrative from I'm alone to I belong. That was the first lie: I'm alone, therefore I'm unimportant. The second lie that can come up when you're isolated is this: if I'm struggling, I have to do it all myself. Isolation can trap us in self-reliance gone way too far, especially here in the United States, where people prize individuation so incredibly much, and they prize autonomy and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, thinking we must carry everything, hide how we struggle, and pretend that we're constantly fine. That is self-reliance gone too far right there. But genuine community offers mutuality. It offers others that can support you. And that's not just helping support you if you have to move house. It means listening. It means having coffee together. It means sharing stories. You support others, others support you, and you don't always have to carry this burden of living alone. Research tells us that social connections help people recover from illness, it helps people cope with stress, and manage major life transitions. When we gather together, we open the door to vulnerability, and thereby open the door to strength. Lie number three: my story is mine alone. It's unique in its pain. Therefore, nobody else will understand. And I'm disconnected. You see, that's a lie right there. Isolation often magnifies the sense that nobody else could possibly understand what I'm going through. As the research on loneliness and neural processing shows, when we're socially disconnected, we may experience the world in more idiosyncratic ways. We may think we're the only one that's ever had a particular experience. I mean, you are unique, but you're not alone, right? Community gives us shared languages, shared experiences, opportunities to say, hey, me too. I've been there. I've been in that spot. And I've came through it. And if I did, so can you. Community gives you the opportunity to say, hey, we're in this together. It's not just you who feels that way. Those shared moments, they don't erase your uniqueness, but they help you calibrate your story. They help you understand your story. They help you see your story from different vantage points, and it takes away the aloneness of your story. Okay, line number four, as we move on. Well, if I go try hang out with people, I risk rejection, so I might as well protect myself and stay home. Oh, and that's a crazy one because the motivation behind that one is pain, right? But when connections have been weak, have been missed, or have been absent for a while, when you get stuck in your isolation, it's understandable to feel vulnerable to rejection or shame. But here's the craziness. One of the paradoxes of community is that in order to receive belonging, you have to risk showing up. Gathering means being seen. It means putting yourself out there. This is where intentional community matters. You have to be intentional about it. You have to take the risk because the risk is worth it. You have to prioritize spaces where safety, welcome, and respect are important. So we understand the importance of community. We all know we need it now. We know the advantages to it. We know it's going to help us live longer. It's going to keep us from believing these crazy lies. So how do we build an experienced community in modern life? Because this is where I have to be honest and say, it is hard. We are so busy. We are so disconnected, but we have to get practical about this. How do you build an experienced community in our modern context where life is busy, where life is digital, it's remote, where it's so fragmented? I'm going to offer three pathways and then invite you to reflect and take action. Pathway one is micro gatherings, small groups, small rhythms. You don't have to have some big event. You don't have to go to some big rally or some huge, like big concert. Just start with something manageable. A weekly check-in with a friend, a shared meal, a walking circle, a book club, a hobby group. Research says that even moderate social connection boosts well-being. So here's your action step. Identify 2 to 3 people who you can commit to gathering with regularly, a monthly or bi-weekly event. Ask them what rhythm works for them. What support or sharing will feel meaningful to you bunch hanging out together? So I have a friend and we had coffee recently on a Sunday. This was a few months ago. And I was so impressed. You know, she reached out to me and she said, after we had a good time having coffee, she said, David, could we do this the third Sunday of every month? Can we just put this as a recurring thing on our calendars? And I said, absolutely, I would love to. And so now I know on the third Sunday of every month at 9 a.m., I'm having coffee with my friend who may or may not be listening to this. In fact, if she's not listening, I'm kind of wondering why. But I have coffee with her the third Sunday of every month. I met with somebody online on Friday night. At the end of the meeting, we met for about 90 minutes. We were just chatting and laughing. They live up in New York State. I said, how about we do this every 3 weeks? We put it on our calendar and we connect via Zoom every 3 weeks because we get to share each other's hearts. We get to support each other, listen to each other. It was a great time, but we're making it into a rhythm that works for us. So yes, I know I kind of went on a tangent, but do it. Pathway B is shared purpose, where we build community around doing, not just talking. Often the most vibrant communities are built around activity or purpose. That means volunteering or a creative project, a neighborhood initiative like cleaning up the lake, or an interest group. This act of doing together fosters connection. So there are so many volunteer opportunities in your community. You can get online and find ways to volunteer. I volunteered for hospice this year and I got connected with some people. I also volunteered at the Pride Parade in Round Rock, and that was interesting as well. In Seoul, Korea, right, South Korea, the city launched this thing called Mind Convenience Stores, which I think is such an incredible idea. I just want to know how they are funding it, right? But these Mind Convenience Stores are casual, stigma-free drop-in spaces for people who are feeling lonely, and it offers ambiance and a gentle shared space for connection. I don't have the money to set up a Mind Convenience Store, but I know, because I looked this year, I know you can get online and find places to volunteer, to find places to connect. So go and volunteer somewhere. Go get involved in a project. Go join the litter pickup that happens around a lake or something. Go volunteer at the Kind Clinic or find some place. Volunteer to read to people at the hospital. Go and find a group, or even build a group. Build a service project. Start a crochet group. Start a book club. Start something. Okay, Pathway C is hybrid virtual plus in person. So basically, this is where you meet in person and you meet online. And it's good for our modern day tight schedules because it gives us flexibility. We live in an era where geography and schedules totally fragment us. And so virtual gatherings are helpful, like I mentioned about the friend I met with last night. But we also know that in-person remains important too. Research indicates that while remote communication rose during the pandemic, it can also reinforce echo chambers and reduce chance encounters. So here's the thing. When you're gathering with people online, or even some of the people we gather with in person, we're gathering with people that we already know, that we've chosen to meet. And this can be an echo chamber because it means we're choosing to gather with people that oftentimes think like we do. But when we participate in bigger gatherings, we have opportunities to meet with people that may think a little bit differently to us. And that's a good thing because that different way of thinking can reduce the echo chamber that we're in, can give us additional data, and we can help see things more clearly. So do in-person and virtual if you need to. Create a rhythm where virtual connection supports real life. So maybe you have a video call 1 week and you meet in person for coffee the next week, but keep that bridge alive, right? If all you can do is virtual at certain times, that's okay. But in-person is important too. In-person increases the variety of people that you meet, and that's important. So take a moment and reflect. On a scale of 1 to 10, how connected do you feel to people right now? What gatherings or communities are you currently part of? How often do they happen? What gatherings do you wish you had? And what's the barrier to having it? Is it time? Location? Is it fear? And now ask yourself, what is one small step that you can take today or this week to move closer to gathering? Maybe that means reaching out to a friend, inviting someone out for coffee, signing up for something. You know, guys, get on your phone and go through your contacts. You have a bunch of people on your contact list that you haven't spoken to in ages because you've got busy. I bet you that you could go through the contacts on your phone, find five people, just five. And reach out to them and say, hey, was thinking about you today. Any chance we could, I don't know, grab coffee or a beer next week? Do it right now. Pause. Okay, if you're driving, don't pause. Or if you're walking, no need to pause. But as soon as you can, get out your phone and go through your contact list. And there are plenty of barriers. I get that, right? If you feel like you don't have any time, set aside time. Make this a priority. And not every hangout has to be 3 hours long. Sometimes an hour is enough because you end up actually doing it. If you feel like you don't know anybody, get on Eventbrite, get on meetup.com, look for interest-based groups, book clubs, volunteering. If you feel like you're remote or you're too busy, then be intentional and plan in-person and online meetings. And if you carry fear of rejection, remember, community often begins with one person being brave. and your reaching out for community and your being brave will give other people permission to show up. And once you've started to build that community, maintain it. Keep a regular rhythm. Make sure that sharing is safe and reciprocal, not always heavy. Don't trauma dump. Celebrate gatherings. Look for ways to celebrate people. Refresh and rotate roles. Invite new people. And also, guys, community is not perfect, right? You're going to meet with imperfect people just like you. But it is a practice that's important. Okay, so as we wrap up today, let's revisit our key takeaways. As human beings, we're wired for gathering. Our health, our self-understanding, our resilience, these things thrive when we connect. Isolation and disconnection are real dangers, not just to mood, but to our sense of self and to our physical health. When we fail to gather, we become vulnerable to lies. Lies like, I don't matter, nobody cares, I'm all alone. But community, real intentional gathering, helps correct those lies. It says that you're seen, you belong, and you're not alone. In modern life, we can build community through micro-gatherings, shared purpose, or hybrid models. It just takes being intentional and practical. It starts with one step. If you're listening today and you're feeling isolated, I invite you to the courageous move of showing up, not just for yourself, but for somebody else. You may not feel community ready yet, but authenticity, vulnerability, presence are more important than perfection. So show up, reach out. Okay, I know I feel like I'm saying okay a lot. I feel like I said at the end of almost every paragraph. So, okay. I want to thank you for allowing me to come alongside you in this space. If you found value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe. Please leave a rating or a review. Share it with a friend who might benefit. And maybe even invite someone to listen together with you and talk about what you've heard. Thank you for being part of Project I Am. May you be well.